Well, I do run to the bus stop fairly often.
I do yoga, but I'm not sure it really counts.
I go to the gym.
I used to go to the gym.
I just recently completed a 14K run with no training.
I'm actually quite unfit.
I'd really like to do more.
I really need to do more.
So do more. Join the exercise challenge. Yes, you can still join it, you know, even though it does end this week. We have made it. Yes, the sixth and final week of the Life Matters and Health and Wellbeing Exercise Challenge. I wonder if you managed those 5 hours of moderate physical activity each week, or at least perhaps you had a stab at something close to that. And certainly a lovely comment on our Facebook page says, I counted the minutes, I never got close, but just that awareness of the minutes that I need to try and achieve was helpful. And we'd like to hear from you this week, so please do get on our Facebook page or tweet us, use the hashtag #ABCGetFit, post your photos, just go for it. You can email us too, or you might like to leave a message on our listener feedback line 02833 1430, telling us about your successes and your struggles. And on Friday we're going to run a talk back to tie it all together, and we might get a bit provocative there, so stay tuned for that. Now, we're also well into, as we've just heard, the ABC's Mental Health Week initiative, Mental As, and Dr. Carol Bounds, a psychiatrist at the Black Dog Institute, joined us at the start of the exercise challenge. And this morning we wanted to look more closely at the relationship between exercise and serious mood disorders this morning. So perhaps, you know, for people who will be featuring in the Changing Mind series on ABC television tonight, what role can exercise play when you are experiencing chronic or acute mental illness? What are some of the challenges in terms of getting you moving? And also, what can personal trainers keep in mind here? An interesting program that the Black Dog Institute has instigated. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back.
Actually, the exercise challenge has run alongside the Black Dog Institute's Exercise Your Mood Month of September.
Right.
How did you go?
Yeah, we did. Well, I've been doing a bit of, I found a 7-minute app on my iPhone that gave me 7 minutes of intensive exercise. I've been doing that. And I've personally been doing some swimming again. So I had my first morning back at squads at quarter to six this morning. It was very painful.
That's a big deal.
It was, but it's good fun once you get into it.
What sort of feedback did you get, though, from other participants?
Lots of other participants have been really enjoying it. So just for the people who work at the Black Dog Institute, it's a big motivator for them. So they've been getting involved in some of the Blackmore runs, and certainly they're getting out and about. And our volunteers have been very actively promoting it and getting very involved. So we've been very pleased.
Yes, I must say that some people, I saw some people with the hashtag #ABCGetFit and the hashtag #ExerciseYourMood.
Yeah, doing two at the same time.
They were doing both. Yeah. Now, why is it vital to look at the role that exercise can play, particularly in acute and chronic experiences of mental illness?
Well, we know that exercise can really improve your acute symptoms of stress and some of those changes that has on your body. So when you're acutely anxious or suffering a depressive illness, it can really help lift your mood in a short term, as long as you've got a mild to moderate sort of illness. Over the long term, though, preventing relapse is probably one of the most important things that getting into a regular exercise regime can be so important to do. And for people who are taking medication that can increase weight, which some of them do, certainly some of the mood stabilisers and antipsychotic medications, not all of them, but a few, can lead to some significant weight gain. And to prevent that from happening, being aware of what you're eating, but also increasing the amount of exercise you're doing is going to be very protective.
We'll come to that issue of weight gain, because it's an incredibly disabling aspect of some of the antipsychotic medications and mood stabilisers. We can't underestimate that. But let's look at some of the evidence. So, for example, there is some evidence to suggest that in some cases, and you can explain this further, that exercise can play an equivalent role to SSRI antidepressants. What's the evidence suggest there?
Yeah, there's been a couple of, there's been about 30 studies actually that have looked at the role of exercise in lifting depression, symptoms of depression. And those studies looked at people with mild to moderate depressive symptoms, and over an 8-week period compared a couple of different groups, some who received an SSRI and some who didn't, and they showed the same amount of improvement in symptoms. But this was a group of people who had initially been inactive, so that's actually quite important as well. There seems to be something about people who have been very inactive who get a depressive illness and then starting an exercise regime with them, and that's how they're recruited into some of those studies.
The key is they were recruited because, of course, when you are experiencing depression, exercise is often the last thing you feel like doing. The desire to exercise just isn't there.
Yeah, and also if you've previously been a very fit person, suddenly go, you know, your depression means you're demotivated, you can't get, maybe have great difficulty getting up in the morning, getting out of bed. And the thought of just going for a 10-minute walk around the block seems just so abhorrent. It's something that, you know, that's not exercise. I'm used to running several kilometres, you know, and going for a good hour. So trying to make that shift with people and saying, that's okay, you need to put that, go back to that when you're feeling well. Let's start small and get you doing something regular now, but it's not going to be the same. And that can be really difficult for people to make that shift.
So is there a dose relationship here? Like the more exercise you do, the better the benefit for your mood if you are experiencing mild to moderate depression?
Look, I think generally would say anything's better than nothing, but the research studies did find that it was just a little bit more intense. You needed to be getting your heart rate up. There's something about getting your heart rate up into, so you can sort of walk along and you can talk to somebody, but you couldn't sing. So you've definitely got to be pushing it a little bit. And a lot of the studies, the research studies, actually had trainers doing a sort of a structured exercise program. And there's some interesting work about resistance when you're actually building muscle bulk as well. So I think that that's kind of, you know, when someone's not doing anything, you're not going to put them off by saying, oh, you've got to be doing this and you've got to be doing that, otherwise it's not worth it. I'd say just do anything. What do you like? What do you love? What do you used to like? But if someone is more able to get involved again, getting them into something that maybe they're building muscle bulk and doing a bit of resistance training and just able to push themselves. It doesn't have to be for long. We're not talking about an hour's pump class. But if you can do like 20 minutes, 30 minutes, then that would be fantastic.
Can exercise ever be not good if you have a serious mood disorder, bipolar, for example?
Yeah, we've talked about bipolar, certainly in the personal training program that you mentioned. We kind of warn them that when they come and do the training program with us, that signs sometimes of becoming hypomanic is that people have huge amounts of energy and can undertake greater amount of exercise and push them much harder as they're going into an uplift, if you're getting into a high swing. And those people have huge energy, need less sleep, and will really could potentially push themselves a little bit too hard in the gym or whatever they're doing, and maybe get some injuries from that. But it could be an early sign that they're starting to get unwell if they've got more energy. It's not just once a week or twice a week at the gym. They're going every day, they're going twice a day, or they're going for long runs or getting up. And I've had people walking in the middle of the night, getting up so energized that they'll go for a 2-hour walk in the middle of the night in the dark. And sometimes that's not particularly safe depending on where they're living. So there's things like that in terms of risk-taking behaviours could be a sign of an early warning sign of relapse.
That's very interesting, isn't it? We'll come back to those guidelines because they are interesting too, about some advice that you give to personal trainers and helpful for those who have the mood disorders as well. Let's just connect with that weight issue again, because it's a big issue, isn't it? And you know, that weight gain and the lethargy that can come with antipsychotic medications, mood stabiliser medications.
Yeah.
Can again be a barrier to exercise.
It can be. And also, you know, a really negative impact on your self-esteem and sense of self-worth. If you, you know, gain 15 kilos and you suddenly can't fit anything, you're not able to wear anything that you're used to wearing, and you're going maybe into a depressive swing. But generally, you know, you can manipulate that medication. You can maybe switch medications. It's so important to have a good relationship, whoever's prescribing that medication for you, whether it's your psychiatrist or your GP, that if it's getting to the point it's having a really negative impact on you, that you can have a discussion about that. You can reduce dosages or you can switch. And we have got newer medications
really
coming
tough.
On.
Tough process, knowing people who have gone through that. It's very tough.
It is tough.
Finding the right cocktail and then the weight issue is such a demobiliser, you know.
But also, I mean, people can lose weight sometimes when they start getting well and they're much more on an even keel, that they find they're more motivated and they're doing more because their medications actually stabilise them. So it's always that sort of cost-risk balance, you know, that you've got.
So where does exercise fit into that? Because the weight gain can put you at increased risk of diabetes and also cardiovascular risk. So where does exercise then fit?
Oh, it should be in there as part of a sort of well-being package for everybody, I suppose. I mean, we tend to forget because you're so focused maybe on someone being acutely unwell or psychotic or manic, you're trying to get them back onto an even keel. But once that person is through that acute phase, you want to get them back onto a whole well-being package that is in looking at nutrition, looking at exercise, as you would looking at getting back into work. You know, so it's part of that whole quality of life aspect of treatment that's so important, that's still got to be thought about after an acute episode, especially for people taking these medications potentially lifelong for psychotic illness.
So Carol, you had an interesting experience back in the late 90s in a hospital that might, an ward that, that was probably not dissimilar to the ward that we've just heard about at Liverpool Hospital. And a particular program was put in place that really you felt had a significant impact.
It
doesn't sound like it's that common in acute mental health facilities.
It probably isn't. Yeah. So this was at Alma Street in Fremantle Hospital back in WA, and we had a great pharmacist who was very aware of the weight gain that was happening with the new, at that time, very new atypical antipsychotics, and a director, Professor David Castle, there, who was very, very aware of the weight gain and what was happening. Mm. And so they actually got funding. I don't know how they did it, but they managed to get funding for a physiotherapist, and we had a gym fitted out in the ground floor of our unit there, and people, both inpatients and outpatients, were put through a sort of structured assessment and then allowed to take part in a program, and some of them continued to do that indefinitely, and others sort of did a more acute sort of 8 to 12 week program. And we saw significant benefits, not only in weight loss, but also in terms of self-esteem and confidence and engagement back into a community. So it was a fantastic resource that sadly I don't think continued to be funded after a number of years. I could be wrong, it might be back.
It makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Mm. Why would you not have a gym facility in an acute mental health unit?
Yeah, holistic care. So we thought it was fantastic, and certainly there was big support from people to get there. But they needed a trainer, they needed the physiotherapist there to really support them, to devise that program and to motivate them. And so some of the people with more chronic illnesses, they had case managers who would be proactively getting them, supporting them to come in and make the session times as well. So you needed quite a group of people to support some of those individuals.
That's right. Dr. Carol Barnes is with me this morning. She's a psychiatrist at the Black Dog Institute. We are talking about, for Mental As, our National Mental Health Week initiative here at the ABC, and also as part of our roundup of the exercise challenge we've been running, we are talking about the role that exercise can have and the challenges in terms of doing it when you have an acute or chronic mental illness. The Black Dog Institute has implemented this personal training course and with guidelines for personal trainers. It's a very interesting document to read. It's about raising crucial awareness. What's it about?
Well, it actually came about because two personal trainers approached the Black Dog Institute last year. They were aware that we were running a lot of workplace training programs in all sorts of different corporates and non-government agencies. And they'd heard about that and they said, well, can we do something specific for us? Because we're aware as trainers, we're not dealing with people very well. We're saying the wrong things. We're motivating people badly. And it was out of their interest and their input that we designed a program. One of our psychologists, David Gilfillan, helped us write the program and deliver that. And it was very successful. And it's still there. So we're still open to get people to come and do that if that's something they want to do. And it was a 4-hour workshop that really kind of took them through destigmatization. So it really, these are the symptoms, the signs and symptoms of depression and bipolar disorder and anxiety disorders, getting them to really think about how that impacts on people's performance and ability to train, and looking at quite interesting case vignettes. You probably read them.
I did. Yes. So give us a kind of a worst case scenario and a best case scenario.
Yeah, well, I think one of them is all about somebody feeling quite tired and down and really being quite critical to that person and trying to motivate through the hard talk. And she gets quite, obviously quite distressed by that.
Maybe you've just got to change the way you think.
That's right. Change the way you think. You've got to work a little bit harder. And then completely misses when that person starts to become hypomanic and becomes quite racy and energized and wants to do more and kind of encouraging that.
Because a personal trainer would think, well, that's great.
Yes.
They're motivated.
And also it kind of indicated to them in a wrong way that it was just about mind over matter. That's why she wasn't performing on the other days, as she just needed to get her mind into gear and she would be fine. And kind of highlighting some of the difficulties that when you are depressed, you are going to be a bit more sensitive to people's comments about you, much more aware of what's going on around you. You can be overly sensitive to interpretations of other people's comments. Mm. So being aware of that and kind of being open and asking people about how they're feeling and when they take a history, asking about mental health history, just as a matter of fact, is asking them if they've had operations.
Wouldn't
or
that be amazing if that just was just,
part and parcel.
The question that people ask, how can I work with you to make things better?
Yeah, that's right.
How interesting. And what's the feedback been?
It was very good for the couple of programs that we've run, and we're sort of waiting for people to get interested to come back to us and we can run it again. It was very successful the last year when we ran it.
But exercise is not out of bounds.
Certainly not.
And it shouldn't be. No. Look, thank you so much for coming back in and rounding off our challenge for us. And we'll continue this conversation with our talk back on Friday. But this is a vital one because exercise, as we've heard, makes a difference. Carol Barnes, thanks.
Oh, welcome. Thanks very much for having me back.
Terrific. Carol Barnes is from the Black Dog Institute. Can I just check? Can people get information on your website if we link to it?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah.
So and are the guidelines there on your website?
I don't think the actual guidelines are, but they've got lots of information about our workplace programs. And if anyone's got any concerns, they can always email John Tennant at theblackdog.org.au.
We'll pop details on the Life Matters website. Okay, fantastic. And you are with Life Matters. And the week, of course, is Mental As. It's National Mental Health Week, and this is about raising awareness. It's also about raising funds. Just go to abc.net.au/mentalas. You can click on the donate button there, and funds will be will go towards mental health research and various grants that the Society for Mental Health are going to drive. So do that. Do that. And there's also an art auction happening as well. Fantastic Australian artists have donated their work as part of this whole fundraising exercise for Mental As.